Warning, the following broadcast is offensive, marginally funny, and contains no educational value whatsoever. It is intended for immature audiences only. It's time to get off your ass and riot. Listen in as Big Fat John and Judo Larry M talk about whatever they damn well want to talk about. So turn up the volume, clean the crap out of your ears, and get ready to be entertained. Because we're ready to riot right now.
Okay, welcome to the Riot Show 2014. This is your host, Big Fat John.
And Judo Larry M.
And Judo Larry M, kicking off the year, the new year, in great fashion here. How you feeling, buddy?
I'm really psyched. This is our first show of the new year.
First show of the new year, absolutely right.
Yep.
So, how was your New Year's?
It was wonderful. Spent it with the family.
Nice.
It was nice. Very nice.
Nice. Know,
Christmas and New Year's this year.
Oh, all right.
Doing
excellent.
The whole family thing, so a lot of relatives.
You got to chill?
Yeah.
You relaxed?
Yeah. Yeah, it was. It was really, it was just nice. Was,
excellent.
How about you? Good?
Yeah, just took it easy at home.
No, you went to Times Square as you usually
no,
do?
No, I did not.
I went all those stupid tourists.
No. I've lived in New York all my life, and all like, 48 years, never been to Times Square
exactly.
for New Year's once. Because New Yorkers are not
thing.
Stupid.
Yeah. And of course, the age-old question of where do these people go to the bathroom?
Yeah.
They've been standing there since 10 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, I'm convinced they drink their own piss at some point.
they wear a diaper.
But yeah, starting off, as we said, 2014, the right way with the Riot Show. Let's do some quick pimping action. You can find us on thatriotshow.com. Go to iTunes, Stitcher, player.fm, soundcloud.com. Just look for That Riot Show. Just search for us. You'll find us. You can also go to YouTube, That Riot Show. And Judah Larim, I have to say, lots and lots of positive feedback around our last episode, which was the best bits of 2013. A lot of people seem to enjoy that wrap up.
Yeah, we got a lot of tweets, a lot of stuff,
a lot of new followers, a lot of new listeners.
That's the best way to kick off the new year.
Absolutely. So we're going to go right into already. How's this for a motto? We're already working towards our best bits of 2014, starting right now.
Oh my God, I'm so nervous.
Do you have a hard on?
Well, I always do. I
mean, nice. This is
my standard for the show. Since I don't do any actual prepping for the show, I might as well have a hard on.
You don't do any prepping, so you just fluff yourself up.
I just fluff it up, baby. Like my first job out of college.
I thought Phil was the fluffer.
Well, he is now.
Phil? What are you shaking your head no, Phil?
Yeah, please.
Please, stop it. We know what goes on.
You love it, you filthy Ligurian.
But yeah, so Judo Larium, a lot of stuff to talk about. Let's start off with the biggest news of the day. That would be the so-called Bridgegate of Governor Christie.
Oh, I thought it was the Gates thing. But all right, you want to go straight for New Jersey, our brother or sister state nearby, yeah.
Not our sister state, what I would like to call our garbage dump in New York.
Well, it is called the garbage state, isn't it?
I don't know, is it?
Oh, it's a garden state.
The garden
oh, I'm
state,
sorry.
There you go. Ba-dum-bum.
But yeah, Chris Christie had a press conference today, went on for 2 hours.
So describe the problem.
Well, apparently, the mayor of Fort Lee, I think his name is Sokolich or something like that, did not support Chris Christie's re-election campaign.
He's a Democrat, meaning that the mayor's a Democrat and the governor a Republican.
Yeah, and what I don't understand is why would you be expecting him to support you? A little baffling. New Jersey does things its own way.
Yeah.
And kind of like a scene right out of the Jersey Shore.
Yeah.
It was just ignorant vindictiveness. And apparently some of Christie's top people.
Right.
Went out of their way to cause a lot of traffic at the GWB.
Yeah, the GW being the George Washington Bridge, which is jointly owned by New York and New Jersey, the two states. They run it according to a port authority. And by the way, the most trafficked bridge in the world.
Yes.
I did research on it.
Yes,
officially,
it is.
No bridge has more traffic
than the
per hour than the George Washington Bridge connecting Manhattan to New Jersey.
Right.
And what's interesting there is apparently the governor's office decided to shut down a couple of lanes on the most trafficked bridge.
In the country.
In the country.
Without concern for public safety. Good move.
Or inconvenience. Didn't warn anybody.
Right.
Now,
all to stick it to him.
Right. Now, Fort Lee, which is the town of which this guy is mayor, is the first town you hit as soon as you cross this bridge. And Fort Lee basically became a parking lot because the people on the Jersey side. Now, the key is to remember that on the George Washington Bridge, the tolls are collected only as you head back to New York from New Jersey. So they're only collected in one direction.
Right.
So when there's a traffic buildup, it's usually Jersey that suffers because it's got all that shit backed up at the toll booths on the Jersey side. So anyway, so Fort Lee basically suffered. And it was revealed recently that the reason for this seems to be pure petty political retribution.
The kind of stuff that you and I would do if we were in charge. But it's just absolutely amazing. They showed pictures today. You just see like one car after the other, like practically like right on top of
it. And this went on for a week.
Yes. And nobody thought like, huh, that's
fucked
strange.
Up, right?
Yeah.
But what's interesting is, okay, so the revelations came out and there were some emails like from his top aides to the Port Authority chief that basically said, time to create a little traffic. You know, like literally caught red-handed.
Yeah. And they apparently now have 907 pages or emails.
Yeah, it's horrible.
With these idiots cursing and saying, like, you know, F this and get it and stick it to them. And, you know.
Like, once again, proving that whether you're a Republican or a Democrat, why are people so stupid to put this thing in writing?
I know.
Where, you know, like, I would do it like the mafia. I wouldn't even call about this. I would send somebody. If I was going to do this, I would send somebody from Christie's office to the guy at the Port Authority, whisper it in his ear, and then walk away.
It's like that scene from Goodfellas.
Yeah.
They have to drive all the way to the mob guy's house.
Right.
They whisper it to another guy.
Right.
He goes back there, makes a sausage sandwich, hands it to him, and hides his mouth with the sandwich. And then, like, he answers him while hiding under an umbrella. So you can't even see his mouth move.
Yeah, but that's the way. It always amazes me that someone put this in an email. Like, go ahead and fuck up traffic. No, you're right.
Not even like one. You might, if somebody sent like one email, you might say, okay, like you slipped up.
Yeah, yeah.
900 pages of shit.
It's the arrogance of power is what it is, you know.
They didn't think they'd get in trouble.
So now you have this situation. And look, I don't care if he's a Republican. People know I'm not a huge Christie fan. I think he's okay as a governor for a northeastern state. I don't view him as a good presidential candidate, and I really don't think he's all that conservative when all is said and done. I think he's basically a moderate with a slight right lean. In other words, I think he would only be marginally better than Obama or Hillary. You know what I mean? I don't view him as the savior.
I don't see him that way. I mean, I actually think, especially if you look at his relationship with the unions and the teachers' unions, I would say he's pretty much in the conservative camp. You have to remember, though, not, you know, a lot of moderate conservatives, you know, they don't do, like, the religious thing.
I'm not even going by that, though.
Yeah, but that's usually the standard these days.
Yeah.
But, because, you know, when they even talk about the presidential thing, they tell you, like, well, then how's he going to play in South Carolina?
Right, in these places
where the religion does matter. But I actually think he's very different than those people, but he's not the kind of conservative I think that you would be looking for. But look, I think he's done a quality job over there, but whether he's presidential material.
Right. But I think it's interesting to me. But even having said that, you and I think both agree he bears responsibility for this.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Even if we don't think, look, do I think he ordered it? To be honest with you, I don't know. He says he didn't, and he immediately fired the person.
I don't think he did.
Okay.
I think these idiots just did this on their own.
Fair enough. And I'm willing to say I don't know. But I will say one thing. He did fire the woman responsible, one of his top aides.
Yeah, no.
He fired her today. So 24 hours after this came out, he fired her. Again, whether that's politically for show or what, I don't know. So fair enough.
You have to do it.
No, I agree.
Because it's the age old, you know, the buck stops.
And he does bear responsibility for the actions of his people, you know. Of course, MSNBC and the left are having a field day with this, and to some extent, they should. I have no problem with it. And honestly, someone like Hannity or someone like Bill O'Reilly needs to stop defending Christie because no matter how you slice it, he fucked up. Or his office fucked up.
But
you know,
the problem with the people at MSNBC.
Well, I was going to get to it, but go ahead.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you
off. No,
I mean, they're doing it because they want to deflect from that guy Gates' book coming out, which says that Obama didn't believe in his plan
in
Afghanistan and Biden's a bonehead and all that.
Well, it's the Gates thing, but it's also the thing, like, for example, where was their outrage over Benghazi?
Right.
Where was their outrage over the IRS targeting political groups?
Right.
Where was their outrage about the FBI targeting AP reporters and wiretapping them and following them around and trying to intimidate them. Where's their outrage over Obamacare not working?
Right, and it's like 6 million people right? have lost their coverage.
Right, and I've had a field day on Twitter dealing with these assholes. Like, every tweet coming from MSNBC is explosive scandal rocks leading presidential candidate for Republicans. And I'm like, A, how dare you say explosive when there was an ambassador who died in Benghazi because nobody gave a shit about him, and then you try to blame some asshole YouTube video.
And then the president referred to all these as fake scandals.
Fake scandals. Hillary, your leading candidate for 2016, by the way, has been repeatedly saying, who cares what happened? What difference does it make? Brushing it aside, and everyone's willing to do it. Hannity made the point that the woman who lied about Benghazi, Susan Rice, got a promotion. She didn't get fired. She got a promotion.
Yeah.
Here it is. So, yes, Christie deserves blame. He deserves responsibility, Judah Lariam. But why the higher, holier than thou? I don't get it.
Well, that's typical. They're all hypocrites.
Oh, I mean, extreme.
Look, he did what you have to do. He went out. He was very contrite. He apologized right. to that guy. He took responsibility.
I heard he was so upset he skipped his donuts.
Oh, my God. Did you just make a fat joke?
I made a fat joke at a fat fucking Republican governor.
Did you actually make a joke about donuts that didn't involve the police? That's yes. a comedy faux pas. John.
Faux pas. Folks pas.
Oh.
Yeah, but look, like, I mean, again, I've said I hate being put in the position of having to defend Christie's actions.
Right.
And I don't. I'm just one of our buddies on Twitter, I got into it with him.
Who in particular?
The guy we went to school with.
Dean. Can I say it?
Yeah, go ahead.
Dean Obidala.
Dean Obidala.
Obidala.
Because Judah Lariam, you know, I can't help myself when it comes to Twitter trolling.
Let me tell you something. Some people are hooked on drugs. Some people are hooked on phonics. Big Fat John is hooked on Twitter, whatever the fuck it is. It's unbelievable. He is a Twitter troll, a Twitter hound, Twitter stalker.
So we already know my history. I've already think I've driven John Fugelsang to drink.
Why don't you leave me alone?
You're so mean.
You're so mean and relentless, like the SS. Oh, my God.
And that's somebody who started out liking us and listening to the show.
I think your show's rather funny. You seem very intelligent. Oh, you're like Nazis.
So we got him, and then... So anyway, so then we got, you know, and of course I've trolled so many other people, but I can't help myself. And Dean, you would think, somebody we went to school with, as Judah Lariam has mentioned before, a fellow Fordham alumnus. I can't help myself. I can't help myself, Judah Lariam. I just can't. So Dean was talking about it, and basically, you know, went back and forth with him a little bit. Now, I held myself back because I could have, like, continued, and I just decided to stop.
Well, that's amazing. Then you can't control yourself, which I didn't think was your thing.
But it won't last. I know what's going to happen. Eventually, he's going to say something. But you know what it is? Here's what's interesting. Dean was the guy who made the joke, one thing leading into another, on MSNBC that got that idiot Melissa Harris Perry in trouble, supposedly for making fun of Romney's adopted black grandson.
MHP.
What'd you make of that?
Did you think they
did anything offensive?
No, not at all. Look, you know what it is? You see all these stupid white Mormons standing there, and there's this one black kid just standing there. Now, you know, this reminded me of when I was growing up, and they used to have that thing on, like, the electric company or the Sesame Street, like, which picture doesn't fit. Or,
right.
You know, you see, like, three trees in a car, like, you know, like...
And actually, that was the joke they made. Yeah. One of these things is not like the other. Yeah. Now, look, in defense of that idiot, I didn't think she needed to apologize.
Well, I did.
I don't. I honestly don't think.
No. You know why they have to? Because because this is just more of the hypocrisy.
Exactly.
You can't make jokes like that because you know perfectly well that if some white Republican had made a joke like that, they'd be nuts.
Right. If Sarah Palin made the equivalent joke of a black family that adopted a white grandchild, that they would be all over her as being a redneck. And absolutely.
Yeah, or somebody Duck Dynasty.
Right, right.
Or somebody on Fox.
Right.
You know, like Greg Gutfeld made a joke about it.
Yeah.
They would be all over them.
Exactly.
So they can't.
Well,
so the fact that she did it, she does have to apologize.
Well, here's the thing. To that point, the comment itself did not require an apology. And maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think anybody from Romney's family said we want an apology. It was always these stand-ins that demanded an apology, like the guys at Fox, Sarah Palin, whatever.
Yeah.
And so here's my thing. If I was Melissa Harris Perry, I either would have ignored the calls for an apology or just said what we said when someone tells us to apologize.
Go fuck yourself.
Exactly. That's what she should have said.
Yeah.
All right?
But because, of course, listen, MSNBC's brass, I think, told her that she had to anyway.
Yeah. Well, did you see her apology? She started crying.
She actually got very emotional. I'm sorry if I in any way said that any family transition of interracial.
Now, let me correct you a little bit.
Okay.
She didn't do it quite like that. Theta did something like this.
Oh.
Something like this.
She sounds like the punchiest pilot cat from
Monty Python. Let me be honest with you. I had never seen her show before. I've read her tweets.
Right.
I've read her columns. That was the first time I heard her speak. Because like most people in this country, I don't watch MSNBC.
Yeah, nobody does.
Not even the liberals watch MSNBC.
Yeah, even Bob Beckel on Fox when nobody watches it.
So when I heard her speak, I couldn't stop laughing. It was like listening to Sylvester the cat give you an apology, like fuck it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, so, and yes, I'm not above making fun of her speech impediment. Thank you very much.
Don't
even pretend to call me out and say, why are you making fun of her speech
impediment?
Quite
frankly, as far as the Romney family and their black kid, the truth is they just beat us to making fun of it. That might have been part of our pre-prep for this show.
Yes. But that's my whole point. They didn't need to apologize. Right? So when she apologized, it made things worse because her apology, you could tell, was nonsense, in my opinion. That she's just doing it because she had to.
Well, that's what I just said.
Yeah.
I think the brass is good. Because also, it's a network where that's become
a problem.
Rule of thumb.
Yeah.
Alec Baldwin lost his show because he made a comment.
Right. Martin Bashir.
That idiot Schultz lost his job because he called
temporarily.
Yeah, but they moved him to Saturday.
Right,
he's
right.
out. And he called Laura Ingraham a talk slut.
Right.
And all these other things. A lot of them have been all in trouble because they've said insane things.
Right. And unlike the hypocrites on the left, Judah, Larry, and I, again, will reiterate this. We don't give a shit that they said those things.
Yeah, I don't care.
Let the people decide if they want to listen to them. I don't think she needs to apologize if she doesn't want to apologize.
I mean, quite frankly, when I saw the photo the first time, I didn't know what to even make of it. I thought the black kid was sitting on Romney's lap. I thought Romney had fallen on the ground and had like a big stain on his white sweater. I was like, what's that mark there? Is he a football? Oh, it's a black kid.
Yeah.
Football. That's horrible. Yay.
But that's my point. Like, you will never catch me and Judo Larry M apologizing for an opinion.
Not on the riot.
Not on the riot. Not anywhere. We will apologize for a factual error. Like, if we said it was 3 and it turned out being 4, we'll say, hey, we made a mistake.
Right.
We're sorry.
If I said that kid was really Al Sharpton, then that would be factually incorrect.
Right. We'll apologize for those type of things.
Those comments.
But for you saying, like, why are you making fun of a black kid in a white Mormon family? Go fuck yourself.
And go read the First Amendment.
Go read the First Amendment twice, even though it doesn't apply here, but we'll take it anyway. But the point is, we don't apologize for that shit because once you apologize, you're left in the position that MSNBC is in which they now have cut off their own balls, Judah Larry M. As a news organization, as an entertainment show, they have cut off their own balls.
Yeah, but, you know, it's also part of their strategy. Because since nobody listens or watches the network, this is a way of getting attention. Listen, somebody go out there and say something crazy. He's going to apologize
for it. For God's sake. And then we'll apologize, fire you, and hire you back.
That's right. Schultz, Baldwin, MHB. Say something crazy.
I'm just waiting for what's-her-face. Well, she'll never get fired. The lesbian, what's her name?
Rachel
Maddow. She can say whatever she wants. She's
covered. You meant Lawrence O'Donnell. We have covered on this show that even though he is not a lesbian, he attends WNBA games.
Allegedly. But at least that guy has a sense of humor, because when I trolled him, he laughed and he said that was a good joke or whatever.
Yeah,
so, I mean,
you can tell that he has to go on the air and inform the people with informed quotes. He was acting in quotes, and now he has to go and inform the people. And you should have put informed in quotes. That was very good.
So at least you could tell he has a sense of humor.
Yes,
and like I said before, Judah Larriam, I still maintain that even though You can make the argument that liberal comedians are the funniest comedians, meaning that they, because nothing is taboo, they kind of touch on everything. That's fine. I can almost buy that premise. But liberal comedians are the ones that have no sense of humor about themselves.
No, no, of course not.
They can't laugh at themselves. You can't make fun of their material.
No.
Even this guy, Dean, he got really upset when I accused him of being an idiot for stating that it was a good thing that Saturday Night Live was forced to hire two black writers, two black female writers.
This is your tweeter?
Yeah.
What is it called?
Twitter.
Twitter response with him?
Yeah.
Oh my God! Why did you stop? That Riot Show is driving me crazy.
That's like the official voice, by the way.
What do you mean? I mean, this is the Fugelsang losing his mind voice. Stop.
Why don't you fucks be good Christians, for God's sake?
You're like a blitzkrieg one-liner.
I also love the fact that these fucking liberals will always reference Jesus Christ when it comes to trying to shut me up.
They don't really believe in God, but they do when they need to shut you up or emotionally blackmail you.
I told you I was having a debate with someone about healthcare, some unknown liberal comedian in Ohio. Again, folks, I was on vacation. I was at home. I had a lot of time.
I can't help myself.
I just stay on that fucking computer all night long.
We have to write a song.
Yeah, and you know I'm a bulldog. I once I sink my teeth into something, I ain't losing.
Let me tell you something. Have you ever seen those footages of like a shark in the water and somebody throws like meat on a hook and the shark just won't let go? That's what Big Fat John is like. That's what that voice comes from. Because as long as there's one more comment, John's going to even one more thing. He only sleeps 20 minutes a day. He can just do this all the time.
You're right. That is my secret weapon, by the way. I don't sleep.
Other people sleep. John will be up 4 o'clock in the morning. Yeah.
So this comedian in Ohio got into a debate with me about Obamacare. And I'm sorry. My sides hurt because I can't. So for some dumbass reason, he goes, how can you be, what did he say to me? He goes, what do you mean Obamacare is coercion? He goes, Christians coerce people all the time. I'm just like,
what's that got to do with anything?
Exactly. But that's the liberal mindset. Like, when you bring religion into anything else, if you're like, if you as their opponent bring into the debate religion, they're like, why are you bringing that make-believe in here? Why are you bringing in those fairy tales? Why are you talking about zombie Jesus? You know, they'll go throughout this whole thing, right? The second you go, hey, man, fuck you and healthcare, you know, they'll be like, why are you so anti-Jesus? Jesus preached to everyone. Jesus wasn't a leper. He helped the lepers.
Jesus would have signed up for healthcare, and he wouldn't have waited until he was 26.
Jesus would have loved to have joined an exchange, for God's sake. He loved everyone.
He didn't even have a Cadillac plan. They're so stupid. That's
but you have to understand, folks, the mental image of John Fugelsang, and I don't know why I'm bringing this up. I haven't bothered him for the last 3 months since he swore us off.
Yes, he's officially written us off. We went from a great show that he loves to listen to in his free time to, oh my God, you're related to Goebbels.
Leave me alone, for God's sake.
Can't take it.
Why do you keep trolling me?
Thank God. Actually, it's good that you don't. Because if he did, if he harmed himself, then you'd be accused of cyberbullying. That Riot Show drives unknown comic to drive himself crazy.
Unknown comic. You know that would drive him crazy if I said that.
Unknown comic who's only known because his name is so stupid.
Oh, shit. Oh, man, we're being bullies. How's Dean going to react to this?
Fuck Dean. I knew him in college. He's a fucking idiot. Look, if you want to be a liberal douchebag, Dean, that's fine. You were in college, though. But
right.
You know, at least say something funny. They showed the picture of the Romney with the black kid, and he goes, that shows the diversity of the Republican Party. Oh.
Yeah, it's really not funny.
Is that really your best joke?
Yeah, I'm here talking. We talk about jizz stains, Judo Larry M. having his ass raped by a doctor and violated. And your best is, that shows the diversity of the Republican Party.
Let me tell you something. My taint shows the diversity of the Democratic Party.
Oh, my God. But anyway, so I did notice that about liberal comics. For the most part, they're funny. Well, a lot of them are funny, but they just...
It's only when they're doing the funny, don't you?
Right.
The worst case, actually, the best example of that is Chevy Chase.
Oh, yeah. He's a miserable fuck.
He's a miserable bastard.
Yeah.
He's got no sense of humor about himself.
Right.
He almost had that big famous throwdown with Bill Murray on the set of SNL like 30, 40 years ago. He no sense of humor about himself at all.
Right.
If he's making fun of other people, when he was doing like Gerald Ford and all that shit, it's all good.
Right, right.
But about himself, forget it. And you get that angry, stupid routine that they
Sure, yeah. sure. And you could see it even in the so-called political comics. They're so convinced that their way is the only way, they can't tolerate someone making fun of their dopey positions. They can't tolerate someone attacking them. And they're mean about it.
Like Christians.
Like Christians. Fuck you, Christians. But the thing, ladies and gentlemen, that is always keeping me laughing now is the Larry, Judo Larry M's impression of John Fugelsang. Now, mind you, we don't know what the fuck John Fugelsang sounds like. I don't know what his voice sounds like, but forever it's going to be the...
We don't know, but I think this is pretty close. Oh, my God. Why did you stop sending me tweets? I can't take it.
And the funny visual is Judo Larry M's pulling out his hair while he does it.
Oh, my God. Do you have a swastika tattooed on your face? Oh, my God. It's charity, for God's sake. Please stop. If I stop tweeting, will you tweet? No, you're a loser. Blow me. Blow me. Hashtag
suck it.
Hashtag suck it, bitch.
By the way, those hashtags are the ones that drive people crazy.
Yeah.
Because I'll make some point. Like, what did I do? I did this with Chris Hayes today. He said, like, what did he say? He goes, the Christie scandal? Where does this rank on the worst scandals in our nation's history? And I said, I don't know, right behind allowing ambassadors to die with a bunch of savages in Benghazi. Hashtag progress. And by the way, that hashtag drives them crazy, you know, because they just can't stand.
I would personally rate it lower than the people who used to fight over Cabbage Patch dolls at Walmart. Who the hell cares? They cause some traffic.
Yeah.
Well, what's that? How's that on the same level with using the IRS to go after people?
Oh, yeah.
Or the people getting killed in Benghazi and not even giving a shit.
Right.
And even blaming that stupid Magnuli Mabuli, whatever his name is, putting him in jail.
Yeah. And even if you say they're all the same, then where was the equal outrage? Again, I agree. Christie should be held accountable. It should be brought up if he runs for president. It should be brought up. It's fair game. It's a real attack point. I agree.
Yeah, but what does it prove?
It proves he's a vindictive politician, just like Obama is.
Well, but that's only the case if he was really involved.
No, but let's assume he is. Maybe he wasn't, but let's assume the worst case.
No,
that he was personally involved.
Usually things that should be used against you are things that are directly tied to you. You know, like if you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor.
Right.
If you like your plan, you can keep your plan, right. Period. You know, all that.
Like, let me ask you something. When Obama vindictively closed all those national parks and monuments because he didn't like the sequester, where was the liberals' outrage?
Right.
Where was their outrage? Like, if you talk about apples to apples, that's pretty much the equivalent of shutting down those lanes for a week.
Right.
You know what I mean? And again, I'm not justifying either one. I think both of them suck. I'm man enough to say Christie and his organization fucked up.
Right.
And they should be held accountable. But if you're MSNBC and you're jumping on that bandwagon, you should first say, who's accountable for Benghazi? Who's accountable for the IRS? Right. Who's accountable for Obamacare? Your signature legislation, it's still not working.
Yeah.
It's still not working, ladies and gentlemen, and it's going to only get worse.
And 6 million people, roughly, have lost their coverage.
Right? Where's his apologies for that?
Right.
Where's his apologies for that instead of just saying, well, you know, when I said you'd be able to keep your doctor, I didn't mean you'd be able to keep your doctor.
I mean, you want to talk about a real scandal. I mean, look, let's say what the guy that Gates, whose book came out.
Right.
Duty.
Yeah.
Okay. Memoirs of his secretary at war. Okay. Right. Here it is. In it, he says that Obama sent 30,000 more troops. We know that in Afghanistan. But he didn't really believe in it. And he was only thinking about how to get them out of there. Excuse me. What kind of leadership is that? B, what does that say to the families of the troops? You mean you just sent them in like on a whim because it looked good and you could only think about
Well, he said
you're
he did
putting
it
them into harm's way.
He did it for political purposes only. That's it. Yeah. He did it to score political points. That's it. Yeah. So you're right. But even that doesn't surprise me because politicians do that.
Yeah, but this is really, you can get people killed.
Yeah.
I mean, like the traffic thing is stupid.
Actually,
that's about all there is to it.
They're saying that a death can be attributable to that traffic thing because an ambulance couldn't get to some old lady or something to help her out, and she ended up dying.
The only thing that's killing people are your tweets. Leave me alone.
For God's sake.
Oh, God. Oh. You can't even spell Funkelstein. What's the matter with
that's
you?
True. I can't. I have to look it up.
Hashtag not English.
Oh, man. I hope he doesn't hear this. He's going to be really upset if he does.
I hope he does.
I hope his feelings will get hurt.
Good. You know why? That means that secretly he's listening to the show. After he officially wrote us off 4 months ago. John Funkelstein, fuck you. On behalf of Al Goldstein, who's now dead, fuck you.
Yeah, we never talked about that. One of the great pioneers of American journalism.
One of the great defenders of the First Amendment.
Actually, he was.
Oh, stop it.
Listen, you know.
Those guys who say that, they always have Larry Flint or all that.
Yeah.
They don't care about the First Amendment. They're making a shitload of money off of porn. And,
sure.
they don't want that mess with.
No, I agree. Like, there was no. I don't think they were doing it on principle. Don't get me wrong.
I know, but they always say that. And I want to tell you right now, I don't believe any of these fucking guys care about the First Amendment or the Constitution.
No, but what they did do through their actions is they strengthened that amendment. Whether they did it for altruistic purposes or not, the end result of their actions is that the First Amendment became stronger. Whether they did it for money, whether they did it on principle, whether they did it to get their dick sucked, it doesn't matter. They did it, and what it came about was that the First Amendment gained strength through their actions.
If they did it for the last reason you said, then I respect them.
for some fucking head?
Yeah. If you're getting a Hummer out of it, then
well, that's always good.
Yeah, I know your motivations are pure.
Yes. Yeah, even if it's from another guy.
So you wanted to talk about that. Poor Al. He's dead.
Well, what was that link? I sent you a link to some guy who's put up a movie about his life.
Yeah, he did a documentary on him. It was his lawyer or somebody. And, you know, the only problem with Al Goldstein is he was such a dirtbag. I mean,
A completely unsympathetic character.
Unsympathetic. And how many people hated this guy?
Yeah.
It's like a laundry list of people and believe it or not.
His own kid won't talk to him.
Yeah, no, his own kid completely disowned him. Completely disowned him. Didn't show up at his funeral. Doesn't care about him. Doesn't want to know anything about him. He died.
Nobody to know that he's his son.
Right.
Nothing.
He became like a lawyer.
Like top of his class. Yeah, what was it? George Washington University or something?
He just moved. His name is Jordan or whatever. Yeah. Or something. And he just doesn't. And even up to his death, didn't talk to him. Nothing to do with him.
That's fucked up when your own kid won't talk to you.
Well,
and he did take care of him financially and everything. It's like he put him through the best schools. And
it's funny to me, though, if you're in the world of porn.
Yeah.
I don't associate that you're going to be a person who does anything traditional. But yet Al Goldstein was married like 5 times, according to the, and they all took him to the cleaners.
Right.
And naturally, he went on Midnight Blue and said, fuck you. He was the Irish cleaning woman who took all my money, you Mick bitch. Fuck you.
He was horrible, though.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, we thought it was hilarious.
Well, it was. When he, you know what it is? It depends on how you do it.
Right.
When he used to go to they showed him in court.
Right.
And the judges would just keep ruling against him.
Right.
So he would show like their home address.
Yes.
And their phone number. And then like a dildo hitting them in the head. Like a minute ago. Judge so-and-so, fuck you. And like they do to simulate like a load. They would like throw whipped cream on it. It was like he was disgusting.
It was childish.
Yes. And he would do all these like ridiculous things.
Right.
And, and then you wind up alienating everybody. Now, the funniest thing, though, towards the end of his life, he lost like 175 pounds.
Yes.
And he got down to be very skinny.
Yeah, he got healthy.
Yes, to some extent. And he was homeless.
He was broke.
He lost all his money. Yeah. He had to sell that house down in Florida that he loved so much. And he had nothing. And Midnight Blue, that was off the air. The Screw magazine was done.
Right.
He had nothing. And I'm always amazed that people have that much money. It reminds me of like the Terrell Owens story. He had $80 million. He lost all of it. What the fuck are these people doing? So he was actually outside like a church on 23rd Street.
Right.
But they showed him walking around. He got a job towards the end at the 2nd Avenue Deli or whatever it was, as a greeter.
Right.
And the owner, this nice like old little Jewish guy, just went, we were happy to have Al here. He's a personality. It's
right.
And this is what they said at the end. They said he worked there 3 weeks. I didn't even know this. Mm-hmm. He worked there 3 weeks, and the owner found him sleeping in the back one day, like just not doing like his job. So he fired him.
Yeah.
So he actually worked there for 3 weeks.
Right.
You know, but look, he was an interesting character.
Right.
And, you know, back when this was so controversial.
Right.
Midnight Blue and Screw, and that they used to be on locally here in Manhattan on Channel J to do
public
porn.
Access.
Yeah. It was Channel J. And that was a big deal back then.
Yes, it was.
The 70s.
I remember.
Then by the 80s.
Well, he didn't grow with the times. Is basically what it came down to.
Well, no, but what happened also is all his content started getting banned on cable, and he couldn't show it.
Yeah.
So the show just became ads for escort services.
Right.
And him doing the fuck you segment.
Right.
There was really nothing else.
Right.
And once in a while, if a porn star was not in L.A. and they were in New York and they would agree to, he'd do an interview with them.
Right.
But even the interviews were, like, ridiculous. You know, you can't
He ended up getting into fights with most of them.
Yes. You can't have an interview with somebody like, when you're getting fucked in the ass, do you think of the Sound of Music? Like, you can't. You know.
But he was a good... I'm not going to say he was a good guy. I'm going to say he was an interesting character. And I think, again, I think what between him, Larry Flynt, to some extent, Hugh Hefner, what they did to be able to expand First Amendment rights, I think, you know, anyone who has anything to do with the business of broadcasting or writing or anything of that owed them sort of like a debt of gratitude, I think. I mean, to be able to say things in this country without fear of being thrown in the can really is an important right that we have that was really getting eroded up through the 50s and 60s.
Yeah,
you know?
I understand that, but you know what? I also don't want the people fighting my rights or my concern to be people like that. Because it's slimy.
Yes, I would have preferred a professor or somebody doing the same, taking the same stand.
Somebody who has like a reason to, even like a military officer, like somebody who feels wrong.
Or William Jennings Bryan, who stood up to defend at the Scopes trial.
Scopes monkey
you know?
Trial, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, yes, we would all like a William Jennings Bryan to defend us.
No, but I mean, even just to fight a cause.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want my causes, and I don't want to have to
be
around
an overweight pornographer.
Yeah, who used to put on his show would do like the fuck a fat Jew pornographer. I don't want him. I don't want
Larry Flynt.
Yeah, Guccione. Yeah. I mean, they're all assholes.
Right.
So, but I was definitely an interesting character. He was a big New Yorker.
And that fuck you segment was great.
That was hilarious. That was just hilarious.
He used to pick out people you never heard of. He goes, and to the guy at the deli who didn't put enough pastrami in my sandwich last night, fuck you. And you're right. He would put their names and addresses and telephone numbers.
He goes, this Sunday, this is Al Goldstein from Midnight Blue. This Sunday I went to Macy's, whatever store.
Yeah, right.
And I have this ad right here from the newspaper, 4 pairs of socks for $10. I went there, 4 pairs of socks for $15. I'm a fucking Jew. I pay retail. Macy's, you can't rip off Al Goldstein. Fuck you. And they show you the picture, like whoever runs it and like all their branches around the country. Don't shop in these places. Fuck, like people are going to listen to him. Like,
they're going to listen to a fat Jewish pornographer on Channel J on public access.
Who can't show porn anymore.
Yes.
Like he did all throughout the 70s.
Right.
So now he just has to do the fuck you segment.
Yeah. You're exactly right.
It doesn't help that also he looked like he weighed 900 pounds. Like he almost couldn't even get into like his clothes. I mean.
Yeah, he was horrible. But anyway. All right. R.I.P. R.I.P. Al Goldstein.
For Big Al.
Big Al. And wherever you are, Big Al. Fuck you. That was our homage to you.
Yes. That's our Al and the porn empire that he actually got.
Oh, man.
But he had so much money. I can't believe it. You wind up with nothing.
Porn? Yeah. He blew it all. And you know where it all went? Defending himself in these First Amendment cases.
Yes. Divorce settlements.
Yeah.
His legal battles.
Yeah.
And then just shit that he wasted money on. Like the house down in Florida.
That had that big statue of a middle finger or something like that.
Yes. And then he put money into like just a lot of... unfortunately, that's what happens when you get too much money.
Yeah.
You, at some point, you start indulging yourself.
Well, you don't understand the value of money anymore.
Yeah.
Exactly. When you get to that point, it's meaningless to you.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
But you're right. Okay. So, hey, you know, before we go on, what about this weather we've been having?
Oh, Jesus.
It's as cold as balls out there.
Yeah, it was...
5 degrees in New York.
Yeah, Monday when I left for work, it was 5.
Yeah.
Tuesday, it was 9 degrees. And, I was watching some of the football games over the weekend, and... some like Green Bay was like less than zero. They were just freezing their ass.
I lost the feeling in my taint walking around Monday.
Wow.
It's like, seriously.
You should go
like
see
I sat down and I'm like, am I sitting on my ass? I can't feel anything.
You should go see my doctor.
Dr. Jellyfinger.
Dr. Jellyfinger will fix your taint right up.
But that weather is horrible.
Yeah.
It's very harsh.
It's still not great outside right now. It's
but how stupid
better.
Is this? Because of that 5-degree weather, this 20-degree weather seems like summer
yeah,
now.
Yeah, it seems nice.
Unbelievable that we have that kind of weather. Can't we outlaw that? Is this Obama's fault? Fuck global warming.
Is this because it is because of global warming, John?
That's what they say.
Yeah.
That's what the liberals are saying now. I also love that that ship went on an expedition to the North Pole to the South Pole.
Antarctica.
And whatever it was, to measure the melting ice caps.
To study global warming.
And then they got trapped by all that ice.
They got trapped by all that ice, had to be rescued.
Help us.
Help us.
Help us.
We know it's a fraud, but we're stuck.
It's cold, for God's sake. It's cold.
Nobody told us it was cold in Antarctica. Oh, my God. Hashtag stupid scientists.
Hashtag stupid fucks. No, but, you know, now the dumbest tweet I actually saw was some pro-climate change dude who actually tweeted back at one of the other comedians. He said, well, why would you... He goes, I hope you don't actually think that by global warming, we mean warming.
Yeah.
I was like, what the fuck does that mean? Of course that's what you mean when you say global warming.
I think their argument right now is that, well, at least what they're saying is because of the warming at the northern hemisphere, because and they're citing the temperature changes like in countries like Canada and everything. What they're saying now is that because of the warming up top, it's pushing all this cold air down, and that it's like coming through Canada, and that's why we're getting this crazy fucked up weather.
Or they could just be guessing.
Or.
To make a point, that's it.
Or it could just be normal for the planet to be doing all this shit, and it has nothing to do with human activity and cow flatulence and everything else that they've been blaming.
People are so fucking stupid. They really are. Again, I'm not even going to say whether it is or it is not happening. All I'm saying is, first of all, you're trusting records that were taken with a thermometer back 150 years by some drunk Germans, probably.
Yeah.
Like, how accurate are those degrees? Here you're measuring degrees electronically to like 1/100th of a degree.
People don't even trust thermometers anymore to roast a turkey. You're doing the weather. Yeah.
Or when they take their own temperature, you know, it's like, come on.
Oh.
By the way, the other day I was in a meeting with a client.
Okay.
And they were talking, and just out of nowhere I went, oh. Like I forgot where I was. And they just looked at me. They went, are you okay, John? I just went, yeah, never mind. Can you imagine that? You're in a meeting, you just hear some fat idiot in the back. While like rubbing my cock or something.
Are you okay, John? Oh, I got the fuggles thing. Oh, my God. Oh, whenever it comes out. Oh, yeah.
Oh.
And if you are listening, Mr. Fuggleson, could you let us know?
Yeah, please give us a call and let us know that we're still annoying you. By the way, I want you to know I did reach out to Toronto Mayor Rob Ford. He has not as yet returned my inquiries.
Okay, I'll reach out to him now.
Yeah, I did. I said, Mr. Ford, we want to congratulate you on your induction into the Riotous Hall of Fame. Please contact us for a comment.
And if he doesn't respond, then I'll send him an email saying, the other member of the Hall of Fame responded. <Yeah.
laughs> Yes, I believe his response was rough.
His with doggy style. Wouldn't that be great if we could get Rob Ford?
That would be like I'm telling you, I may have to jizz on your leg. I joked about it before Christmas.
Just maybe we shouldn't have him.
Not for sexual purposes, just in appreciation of your efforts. Okay.
I don't mind catching your load for appreciation purposes. That's the way we roll in 2014.
How funny would that be if you could, like, whenever you were happy, you could just, no matter where you were, whip
come on
dick.
Somebody's leg. Excuse me, miss. I'm feeling very happy right now. I just fungal-sighted on your leg. Oh, my God.
Is that what we're calling it? A fungal-sighted?
You fungal-sighted on my leg. How could you do that? Boy, that's a lot of fuggle sang.
Oh, my God. Man. Whoa, the fuggle sang is all sticky tonight.
Would you like a protein shake? How about a fuggle sang?
Now, honey, if you want a fuggle sang, that'll cost you an extra 100.
I like to apologize for the Romney family.
It was wrong for me to bring someone's family into it.
I don't
family. Are off limits. as a child of a biracial family.
She said something about families that were created or transitioned through, like, interracial.
Who the fuck knew what she was talking about? She was crying halfway through it. I didn't understand half of what she said.
She got choked up, but she didn't cry.
She was like, you know, she. You're right.
You know what? For motivation, I agree with you. I don't think the apology was very sincere. I think her motivation for the crying, the tears was, if you don't do it, you're going to lose your show.
Fired,
like Baldwin. You know?
Yeah, like Baldwin and Bashir.
Bashir.
The truth of the matter is she should not have apologized. I still go back to this. What happened to the balls of the left? She should have just said, go fuck yourself.
Yeah, but from their worldview, that fits.
Yes, when you're a pussy, you have to do that.
Right.
When you espouse pussydom, that's what you have to do. You have to apologize for every little thing. You have to look at everything through racial lenses. Everything has to be, pardon the pun, black and white.
Right.
And you're not allowed to make a joke. Unless, of course, you're joking about conservatives or libertarians or Republicans.
Right.
Then it's okay. Or religious people. You're allowed to make fun of religion. Actually, you're allowed to make fun of Christianity. As Dean Obadiah told me, you know, apparently it's not cool to make fun of Muslims.
Right. No, you can't touch any other religion.
Right.
Christianity are all fair game.
They're okay.
Republicans are all, you know.
Because we have committed all the evil in the world.
Right. Plus, you're associated with being like the power structure.
Right.
So you can take
it. Right.
As opposed to the left, you just take it in the ass. Speaking of taking the ass, have you ever watched the Maddow show?
No.
She's not that good.
No.
She's just kind of annoying.
Yeah.
She just keeps whining on, like, you know, whenever she wants to show, like, any emotion, she, like her eyebrows go, like, up on top of
her. Well, she's another example of, she thinks she's a lot funnier than she is.
She thinks she's a lot smarter than she is.
Yeah. I don't know. I heard she's a Rhodes Scholar. Am I wrong? Is that somebody else? I think. I don't know. Look, I don't think she's stupid. I just think she's dopey. And to me, there's a difference between the two.
Yeah, but that's what I meant.
Yeah, I think
I don't think she's stupid. No. I just said she's not as smart as you.
Right. And I think she's dopey. I think, like, you know, she depends a lot on emotion. And look, as a lesbian, an open lesbian and out on TV, she's got a job for life. Let's be honest.
How do you feel as a lesbian on this radio show?
I feel protected now.
Can I fuggle sing on your leg?
yeah, you can fuggle sing on my leg. Oh, speaking of which, did you see that Robin Roberts came out?
Oh, yeah.
The black chick on Good Morning America?
She used to be on ESPN.
Yeah. Gee, what a surprise. A basketball player comes out as a lesbian. Who would have thought that was possible?
Is that another WNBA joke?
Basically, yeah.
Tying into my Lawrence O'Donnell joke.
It's like Brian Botano coming out of the closet when...
Too late for him. They even made a song about him in South Park. I mean,
I told you what I think is hilarious. President Obama's a pussy. Let's face it, okay?
Yeah.
The way he decides to combat the anti-gay laws in Russia, does he boycott them? No. Does he try to embargo them? No. Does he try to send diplomats there? No. What does he do? He sends as many cocksuckers as possible to the games. And by cocksuckers, please understand this to mean gay men.
Yes. Which includes Billie Jean King.
No, but all joking aside, his retaliation is to send as many washed up gay athletes to Sochi in order to do what?
What
are they going to do? Are they going to finger each other when they win a medal?
No, it's the show.
Is there any ass fucking going on?
It's the show that we disagree with you. And this is what we stand for, so we're going to send these fruits over there so you can...
Because that's what America stands for. Man on man, ass,
that's
sex.
Right. He's going to threaten to bomb Syria if they don't clean up their chemical war, then not do it. He's going to fuck up the Obamacare thing. So many mistakes, so many fuckers, but what does he get absolutely right? Oh, we're going to send some fags over there. That'll freak out Putin, who
hates them. Teach them a lesson.
That'll teach them that Russian Orthodox shit that they believe in.
And we're drafting the Pussy Riot.
Mm-hmm. Oh, speaking of which.
Yes.
They're all out of jail.
Yes.
I'm very happy.
Freedom for the Pussy Riot. Now we get to see those marvelous 13-second concerts that they do.
You and I should do that.
What?
I got it.
What's that?
We're going to put ski masks on.
Wait. Can you spill this on the air?
Why not?
Okay. No one's listening anyway.
No one's fucking listening. What do you think this is? This is like the MSNBC radio podcast. I got a great idea.
What's that?
We'll put on masks, like the goalie mask from the 70s.
Nice.
Like the hockey.
I'm with you.
And we'll just show up in different places in New York.
Yeah.
And we'll just jump
St. Patrick's?
Up. Yeah, anywhere.
Okay.
Yeah, St. Patrick's is good.
Okay.
The library is good.
Nice.
A couple of police stations would work.
No, let's skip that. They got batons.
No, fuck them. The Brooklyn Bridge, where tourists are.
Okay.
And like maybe one other place that's like totally inappropriate.
Junior's Cheesecake Factory?
An Irish bar. Yeah. And we'll just run in with the goalie mask and go, Obama sucks. Hey, the Pussy Riot. That riot show. Like we'll just,
That riot show. That riot.
And we'll just have somebody hold a sign above us. Your cousin Dennis.
That's
that riot
that
show.
Riot show.
While we sing stupid things and then go, thank you.
One and chord and run out.
And run out, yeah.
Are we going to do like the Pussy Riot gals and have sex in the sidewalks?
You and I will not be having sex. But we can show pictures.
Can you imagine that? Like, Larry, John, what the fuck are you two doing on the sidewalk? It's for our First Amendment rights. It's not because we're gay or anything.
We're protesting Putin. Could you stop being stupid?
While you're on all fours and I'm nailing you from behind.
Can't you see by the size of this cock in my ass that I truly believe in the First Amendment? You're stupid.
It's very near and dear to me, for God's sake. Pay attention.
Please shoot off on my back, would you?
That's a political statement.
So everyone can see how serious you are by shooting your Fugle sight on my back.
It's like throwing a quart of hot yogurt on my back. Oh, God. Don't choke to death, Judo Larry M. Yeah, if you're going to do that, hold on. Let me unzip my pants. If you're going to bother choking anyway.
As long as I'm gagging.
Oh, man. This show has gone off in an entirely unexpected direction.
I'm tired.
Anyway, listen, I just want to say thank you. You know, the riot show has given us the opportunity to reconnect with a lot of people from our past that we've lost touch with, Judah Larium. And earlier this week, I was contacted by an old friend of mine.
Like who?
That I used to work with.
Okay.
Who said she literally, and this is a shoot, said she found out and remembered about me because she listened to a show that was recommended to her, which turned out being our That Riot Show.
All right.
Listened to us on Facebook. So she contacted me on Facebook and she's like, would you like to go to lunch? Went to lunch today. And you know why it's important that I went to lunch with this woman, Judo Larium? My friend Marion, by the way, shout out to her.
Because marriage is boring. I don't know.
It's very important that I went out to lunch with her.
Okay.
Because she's a very religious Jew.
Okay.
And we know who runs the media industry.
I get the connection. That is very good.
You like that? I'm thinking.
I like the way you implied. So you really mean Muslims.
But you know, you got to get down with the Jews if you want to make it in this industry. You know that, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Because as every good white supremacist knows, the Jews control the media.
They control everything. Why do you think we're out of Syria?
Because they found out we don't have a drop of Jewish blood.
They found out, A, you're not a Jew.
That's true.
The program director probably was, and look how we treated him. Talk about hot yoga.
You're right. We were stupid. We got to get down with the tribe if we want to get anywhere in this business.
That's right.
Are you prepared to convert?
I'm going to wear a yarmulke on next week's show.
All right, hold on a second, Judo Lyram. Hold on. Okay. Hold on. Before you say anything else, hold on. What do you think of that?
Wow. Where do you get these?
Phil is on the ball. Phil is on the ball. He doesn't waste any time. He's a master back there. But now that we're in the right, the right mood, Judo Larium, do you solemnly swear to join me in becoming one of the chosen people?
In fact, not only do I agree to do it, I will dress up as one.
Yes.
When we go to the Creation Museum.
You will stand your ground as a proud converted Jew when we go to the Creationist Museum.
I will wear the
wherever it is, bumfuck southern U.S., wherever
Kentucky.
It is. Kentucky, you're right. Because if both of us change our names, are you ready to go to Judo Lawrence?
Judel Herschel M.
Emsky?
Judel Herschel M.
And I could go to Big Fat Johnstein.
Big fat matzo ball.
Big fat matzo steam. And while we're doing that, we hereby pledge our support for Israel.
Absolutely.
You and I are going to buy a tree in Israel. And we're going to get down with the tribe.
That's it.
No more pork. I think it's a sacrifice. We're going to have to skip the bacon.
Oh, my God.
We're going to have to skip the ham and Swiss.
Oh, this is going to be tough.
Yes, but just think of the long game here. In doing so, we are practically guaranteeing us a nationally syndicated show. That's what happens when you get down with the tribe. I also hear you don't buy retail. You only get wholesale prices, which is also good.
Yeah, you get wholesale.
And, yes. And I also hear that the second you walk into a bank, which, of course, we all know they also run.
Oh, that's very nice.
You get higher interest rates, at least half a point higher on your savings account.
You get the New York Times delivered for free.
You get the New York Times delivered for free. And it also buys you special access to the Clintons. So, Judo, Larry M., you and I, are you down? We ready to become Jews out of this?
I am down in Jaime time.
There you go. There you go. And we can now, as newly minted members of the tribe, we can use words like Jaime and kite. I think that's allowed now. Is that too far?
You can't say kike.
Can't say kike?
How do you spell that?
I don't know. K-I-K-E? K-Y-K-E?
Oh, K-Y.
I don't know. But anyway, see what happens, Marion, when we have lunch? We get to find out exactly what's going on with the world. All right. All right, Judo Lariam, what do you think? It's about time to go?
Yes.
All right, in that case, for Judo Lariam, this is your host, Big Fat John. Join us again next week when we indulge ourselves with more idiocy and facts of the world. Until that time, peace.
Join us every week at theriotshow.com to follow the latest exploits of Big Fat John and Judo Larry M. This is Mark, the man with the golden voice, and I'm not wearing any pants.